Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's The Hump Show. We love this show because not only does it catapult us forward toward another weekend, but it's kind of a space to breathe in between football weekends. You know, we're on a football clock now. Well, it's only 2 weeks in, so we don't want to make any grand predictions, at least I don't, or any type of sweeping generalizations. I don't want to tell you I know what's going to happen even after this first month. That would be foolish, because when you make predictions, the NFL laughs in your face. However, it is fun to stop and react to maybe a couple of early season surprises. And I would say one of those is the Seattle Seahawks being 2-0 on top of the NFC West, where the San Francisco 49ers reside, where the Rams are a recent Super Bowl winner and made the playoffs last year as a wild card, where the Cardinals have got their quarterback healthy and on the field, running around with a brand new target in Marvin Harrison Jr. And yet it's the Seahawks who started out 2-0. And they've got a brand new head coach in Mike McDaniel, who was hired to be the opposite of Pete Carroll and take the team in a completely different direction. And I guess so far so good. But we want to talk a little more about these Seahawks early in McDonald's tenure. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It's our middle show of the work week, our hump show. We are excited to connect with you. Please send your questions to producer Pete, because we've got Ask Amy Anything coming up. Unique, creative, catches tension, either online at Amy After Hours or on our Facebook page. And while you're there, you can vote last couple minutes in our poll for TD of the week. Right now, though, we're pleased to welcome Greg Bell from the Tacoma News Tribune. He's like an encyclopedia. He's going to let us get to the bottom of this surprising 2-0 start for the Seattle Seahawks. Well, how would you describe what they've done so far in this season, Greg?
Relatively easy in terms of the schedule, what's to come, Amy. When looking at the schedule coming in, it looked like the softest landing for Mike McDonald and his new systems. Denver was supposedly the weakest, on paper, the weakest home opponent they had, and they're starting a rookie quarterback in week one, Bo Nix. And on paper, in their road schedule, New England starting over, new coach, new regime post to Belichick, with a holder, really a fill-in quarterback until Drake May takes over. That's what weeks one and two have been. So the Seahawks have been far from perfect, as most teams are. Their defensive line hasn't stopped the run consistently. They gave up 185 yards to the Patriots on the ground. Their offensive line hasn't played well at all. Geno Smith won that game in New England on Sunday almost by himself. 33 completions, a career high, 327 yards. They threw it 44 times, which is not what Ryan Grubb, the new offensive coordinator, wants to do, but he had to do it because the offensive line was doing nothing, and Kenneth Walker, their lead back, was hurt. So this doesn't at all look like the team Mike McDonald wants it to be, a physical line of scrimmage team, but they still got away with two wins because of the opponents they played. It gets tougher now. They're going to get an apparent break with Miami and, of course, Tua Tagovailoa's situation with the concussions, and Skylar Thompson's going to start against Seattle on Sunday. So there's another quarterback that won't be the top ones they face later on in the season. But then it gets tougher. They go to Detroit on a Monday night. They've got on a Thursday night game in a couple weeks. San Francisco coming in, which they've yet to figure out in the last couple years, the team they have to beat to win the division. But they have gotten themselves a soft landing to ramp up and learn more of Mike McDonald's system. It's still a work in progress that their record really doesn't portray right now.
Well, how come it's taking so long?
Well, McDonald is trying to do the full meal deal of what he did in Baltimore with Seattle, and that's going to take a while. What is that? Well, it's disguising coverages. It's, are they in two high coverage? Are they in one high coverage? Moving a safety at the snap. It's defensive ends that drop into coverage, outside linebackers. It's defensive tackles that sometimes drop into coverage with zone blitzes. It's linebackers faking blitzes. It's doing all of it, sometimes in a one-word command right before the snap and changing the look that the quarterback just had. And they're still trying to figure all that out. They're still missing assignments. They're still not going to the right places. McDonald hasn't given them the full tableau of complexity that he ran with Baltimore when they had such a great defense last year. Every team can really say this, Amy, but the Seahawks, especially on defense, will definitely be better in November and December than they are now because they're going to do more on defense than they're doing now. The process was going to take long from the start because of all that McDonald wants to do. Players have never done it before, and it's going to take a while.
Is there anybody he can count on who he feels like does know the system or can help him be a coach on the field?
Yeah, there is. And one of them's hurt right now, Chenna Nwosu, who got a sprained knee in the last preseason game, hasn't played either of the first two. He's really a cornerstone piece to this team. And then Devin Witherspoon, I think, is the best player on the team, offense or defense. As dynamic as he is, just in his second year, a nickelback who also plays outside at corner. He played more at corner against New England because they went three safeties with Kevon Wallace and Rashawn Jenkins and Julian Love. Their secondary is the best part of their defense, almost best part of their team. And so they maximize those guys and play multiple extra corners and safeties most of the time. He's hanging his hat on those guys in the secondary because he knows that's the strength of the team. It's getting to the point where he thinks those guys can cover. Woolen and Witherspoon and the safeties in the back can cover. And so he's working on the front seven and improving the defensive, the run defense, improving their shifting and disguising at the defensive front, the front seven guys. They've had linebacker issues with Jerome Baker from Miami in the offseason with the hamstring issue. He only played 21 snaps and had to come out the other day. Tyrell Dotson has been great from Buffalo. He's the new middle linebacker replacing Bobby Wagner as the single signal caller in the middle. He's really been good. But around him, there's still pieces like in Chenna Nwosu, as I mentioned, missing. Boye Mafe, Derek Hall, an outside linebacker. Hall is learning every down role for the first time in his second NFL season. Again, a lot of growth and change is going to happen here over the next month or so. The question becomes, how many losses against better teams are they going to absorb while they learn all this?
Greg Bell is with us to talk Seahawks off to a 2-0 start and taking on Miami in week three. Covers the team for the Tacoma News Tribune, and it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. As much as you're pointing to ways in which they still have to grow, at the end of the game against New England, not only do they have a big sack of Jacoby Brissett that forces a longer field goal that then gets blocked, but they also force a pair of three and outs, one at the end of the fourth quarter and one to start overtime that put the Seahawks in a great position. So at least they were able to have some success late in that game.
Yeah, that was Terrell Dotson on the overtime stop on third one. He was the only guy in the hole with 227-pound Ramondre Stevenson running downhill right at him. And Dotson made the play as the only guy in the hole unblocked, the middle linebacker, quintessential middle linebacker, Ditka-Butkus type of play. You're right. They, for the most part, through two games, have made the stops that they needed to make. They only allowed one touchdown, even though it was 20 points. It was only one touchdown against Bo Nix and the Broncos. They allowed, the offense was just terrible, giving away field goals, and two safeties in the first half, and offensive line issues galore in that game. And then on Sunday against New England, they controlled most of that game on defense, but then in the third and into the fourth quarter, New England just started running over and over again, which I thought they were going to do at the start. And Patriots threw it 10 times in the first 13 plays in that game. And then they got back to what they did in Cincinnati to win the upset in the opener and started running every play and wore down Seattle in the third and fourth quarter to take the lead 20-17. But you're right. They have made the plays when they've had to. They've gotten some pass rush from Boye Mafe in particular with Nwosu out. And their secondary play is, again, the strength of their team. The linebackers have to be better in tackling and in assignments. I just can't emphasize how much it's a work in progress. And this line of scrimmage play is really going to get a test when they play San Francisco. It's why they have been so far behind the 49ers in the NFC West. And, Amy, until they fix that, They're not going to win the division.
Yeah, right now, lots of injuries around the NFC West for both the Niners and the Rams, who play each other in week three. So, Greg, thinking about the offense, of course, Kenneth Walker's missing. What's the latest on his oblique strain?
Well, they're going to try to practice tomorrow. I don't expect him to practice tomorrow. The last time he had this oblique injury, maybe not exactly the same, but the same area and same muscle, back in November, and he missed 2.5 games. So he's only missed one game since he got hurt in the opener for this. It wouldn't surprise me if he misses another one. That means Zach Charbonnet, second-year man from UCLA, will get the call again against Miami on Sunday. Charbonnet's a different back. He's not as elusive. He's not as quick. He's more of a one-cut-and-go guy, but against New England, his go wasn't quick enough. Their offensive line wasn't good enough to give any push. Mike McDonald has talked this week, when talking about his run game, that they've got to move more people on the offensive line. They've got issues at both guard positions. Connor Williams is playing his second game in 8 months since he had his knee reconstructed, the ACL tear with the Dolphins, as a former starting center for Miami. The right tackle, they're in their third right tackle right now, Storm Forsythe, because George Fant is injured, and Fant was replacing Abe Lucas, who hasn't played since January after offseason knee surgery, and they don't know when he's going to play again. The only sure thing on the offensive line, Amy, is at left tackle with Charles Cross. So that's 80% of the line that has either struggled or been hurt. Lakin Tomlinson, the former 49er Pro Bowler a few years ago, is looking everything of 32. He's been slow off the snap, getting beat by defensive tackles for both the Broncos and the Patriots off the snap. And until they get the line fixed, it really doesn't matter what Ryan Grubb and the skill position players and Geno Smith can do. Although Smith won it by himself in Foxborough, he's not going to be able to do that every single week when they play at Detroit against San Francisco and those type of teams.
We know that a few of the seasons under Pete Carroll, toward the end of his tenure in Seattle, he really did want them to be a power run team. What type of balance is Mike McDonald looking for?
Well, he wants to be smash mouth too. He wants to be physical and have an identity of that. And Ryan Grubb, his offensive coordinator, gained a national reputation at the University of Washington with Michael Penix and Roma Dunze and Jalen McMillan and Jalen Polk, all these NFL receivers they had, of just throwing it 50 yards down the field. Penix led the nation in college football with 49 and 4,600 yards his last two seasons under Grubb. So Grubb had this reputation of just being this bombs away aerial guy. He's actually an offensive line coach growing up at Eastern Michigan and Fresno State, and he wants to run the ball. People forget Washington had a 1,200-yard rusher, Dylan Johnson, last year when they went to the national title game. He wants Kenneth Walker to be a 20-carry-a-game guy, which he got in his opener before he got hurt. He had 103 yards on 20 carries against the Broncos, 84 of those after halftime. That's the way Grubb wants to play. He wants to stick with the run even when teams are stopping it early in games, which is something Shane Waldron, the previous offensive coordinator, did not do. He tended to go away from the run when they got stopped early in games. Grubb's going to stick with it. And then the passing game is off of that. That's how they beat Denver in the second half, how they opened up their offense, was with the run first. So I know a lot of coaches talk about balance, but it really is in the pedigree and in the roots of their new play caller, Ryan Grubb.
You mentioned that Geno was able to do everything that was asked of him and carry the team on his back in that week two. How did he do it? What was asked of him?
He was, first of all, really accurate. He could have been. His final numbers were 33 of 43. 33 was his career high for completions. And he should have been 38 of 43 because he had five drops. DK Metcalf dropped two. Noah Fant dropped two. Jackson Smith and Jigba dropped one. And then he spiked the ball at the end of the first half to stop the clock with 4 seconds and allow Jason Myers to kick a field goal at the end of the half. So that's a throwaway incompletion that really shouldn't count. He really could have been 38 of 43. And he did it both in quick and long throws. New England helped him out by blowing coverages. The 56-yard touchdown with DK Metcalf was just a straight go route with Zach Charbonnet lined up outside of Metcalf, who was in a left slot. And inexplicably, the safety and Christian Gonzalez, who'd been with Metcalf, both went with the shorter inside route by the running back, Charbonnet, and nobody covered the straight go route by the 6'4 wide receiver for a 56-yard touchdown. So Smith got help, and the Patriots did have some assignment errors that allowed guys to get open. But then plays like Tyler Lockett made in overtime, a completely playground play where Smith rolled right, stopped, went to his left,
and Lockett changed and improvisationally moved his route back to the left sideline where no one was for a 16-yard completion that set up and gave him the yards needed for the field goal to win the game by Myers. Plays like that aided Geno Smith's numbers, but no doubt, Smith was great. He was his 2002 self when he threw 4,200 yards and completed 70% to lead the NFL.
Greg Bell is with us from Seattle talking about those Seahawks who will get the Dolphins this weekend without Tua Tagovailoa. He's now on IR, so Skylar Thompson it is. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I think we talked when Mike McDonald first got the job and how he was hired to be the opposite of Pete Carroll, but what's his coaching and management style?
He's very demanding. He's very direct. The players talk about, they use words like blunt, no nonsense. He's much different than Carroll. Carroll will put his arm around, used to put his arm around players and be a father and even a grandfather to them in his 70s. And McDonald's different. McDonald will yell at players for not running to the ball. He cut a player 2 weeks after the joint practices I watched in Nashville with the Titans, a rookie corner, a draft pick. He cut him because he wasn't running to the ball from all the way across the field as a right cornerback on a sweep to the left. He demands players. I saw in training camp that some younger players, first and second year players, went straight into the locker room after they adjourned from practice. And he had told the team that they should all be on the line of fans along the sideline to give out autographs and pictures after practice. Well, a few players didn't do that. He had an assistant go in and fish all of those players out and demanded they go and sign autographs.
Wow.
So he sets a standard. He's big on accountability. And he's a self-described football nerd. He loves the X's and O's. His head is constantly in the tablet in between series. He's constantly looking at his play card. He's very emotionless during games. He is constantly studying the chess match at the football. He loves that. He loves to talk about schemes and variations and tendencies. He loves the eaches of defensive football in particular. Where Carroll was more, he was defensive steeped, of course, Carroll was. But he was more of a personality, motivational guy, the guy who run up and down the sideline screaming and yelling and patting guys on the back. Players have to go up to McDonald to get reaction to him during games and pat him on the back because he's so stoic. I find him to be very engaging and extremely intelligent. That's another word that all these players use about how smart he is. He seems to be one step ahead of everything in life, whether it's on or off the field, and he's always thinking about what's next, not what's happening now. So far, Amy, he's never said this to us, and to me in particular, the times I've talked to him, but I think he wants to do more than he's able to do right now in this stage of his regime. Later on, he's going to be layered and have these players be experts in his defense. They're not even close to that yet. And when they get there, if he can find the right combination of players to the scheme he's doing, they're going to be really damn good. They're light years from there right now because of the expertise is so new.
You note the schedule on the road at Detroit. They've also got the 49ers in the next month, the Bills. So what do you see from the division so far, even though the Seahawks haven't played a game in division?
Well, I noticed you conveniently skipped over the almost bye week of the Giants they had between the Lions and the 49ers. I had to throw that in for you New York audience back there in the middle of the night. You're right. The NFC West is jumbled right now. The Rams are a mess. Their offensive line has a ton of issues. You know about Cooper Kupp's issues. Puka Nacua is hurt. Matthew Stafford has no one left to throw to. They're a shell of what they're supposed to be right now, and that's why they're 0-2. Arizona, I mean, if Kyler Murray can throw like and perform like he did against the Rams last weekend, look out, because their defense has been rebuilt. That's what they've spent the last couple years and draft picks doing, is fixing their defense. And their defense gave Seattle problems before they remodeled it. But if they can have the defenses improved that it looks like it is and have Murray playing like this, yeah, they're a threat. I think San Francisco is still light years ahead of Seattle on the line of scrimmage. Even with injuries, even if McCaffrey not in there, they still have Trent Williams. They still have the same offensive line. They still have the physicality on the defensive front and Bosa and all those guys that have just mauled the Seahawks in their last 2 or 3 years playing them. And I don't think the Seahawks have closed that gap, especially on the offensive line. We may see that in that Thursday night game in a couple weeks. And frankly, Amy, if they can't beat San Francisco, This is the same Seahawks end game as it's been for pretty much the last decade. Around 500, maybe a 10-win team that could get a wild card because they can't win the division, and then maybe a win in the playoffs in the first round, and then get boat raced in the second round by a San Francisco or Green Bay or Philadelphia or Dallas on the road. And that has really been their story since going to their last Super Bowl in the 2014 season. It's why they hired Mike McDonald to get over that hump. I'm not sure this is the year to do it with as good as San Francisco still is at the line of scrimmage.
Before I let you go, Greg, I know it's been a weird transitional year for the Pac. I guess you'd call them the Pac-2 now. But the conference is playing to add a few teams, so kind of a merger of sorts with the Mountain West. Washington State is one of the holdovers. What's your reaction to what we know so far?
Well, they're 3-0, and they just beat Washington in the Apple Cup. And I can tell you how satisfying that is. My son goes to Washington State. We know some players in the program. Most of Washington State is from the western side of the state, from the Seattle-Tacoma-Everett area. There has been very few in the history of the 116 Apple Cups that have ever been played. There have been very few more satisfying wins than that one this past weekend.
Nice.
Washington State just getting left behind by everybody else in the Pac-12. Washington being the last team that really was the death knell to Washington State and being sent off on their own is when Washington and Oregon decide to go to the Big Ten. And then to add insult on all top of that, Washington State's athletic director, Pat Chung, left and became Washington's athletic director, which is blasphemy to anyone.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
One who would ever be a Cougar to ever work for the Huskies. And for them to beat Washington after all of that, they're flying high right now. What would be the greatest of great stories, Amy, is if Washington State, even if you're not a fan of the Cougars, you'd have to be a fan of the possibility of Washington State going 12-0 and making the college football playoff as a forgotten kick to the curb independent. I mean, it would be amazing. I would absolutely love that story, that they could become America's team by the fact that everyone orphaned them, and here they are being undefeated. Now, they got Boise State here in a couple weeks, got San Jose State Friday night in Pullman, but then they have Boise State on the blue turf the week after this. That'll be their biggest test. But, man, how great would that be for Washington State to get left behind but still into the playoffs?
I'll root for that. I love those kind of stories.
That would be awesome.
Very good. All right, you can find Greg Bell online at GBellSeattle, and he covers the Seahawks. But we like to pick his brain about other things as well for the Tacoma News Tribune. It's always good to catch up with you. We'll have to do it again as the Seahawks get about midway through and see how much closer they are with McDonald's system.
Yeah, exactly. Anytime, Amy. It's great to talk to you. Thanks again.
Encyclopedia. The man can remember every play in every game. But I always learn so much when we talk to Greg. And so maybe it is a bit of a pipe dream with the Seahawks starting out 2-0. But 2-0 is 2-0. They don't take him away if they find out you're not legitimate. So you take those two wins and you run like the wind, Seahawks, or fly like the wind, Seahawks. And so coming up, they do have some more challenging games on their schedule, but they don't get to the NFC West until week number 6. And so they've got time. I don't know why I have the hiccups. What is it about this radio show that sometimes I have to sneeze? Sometimes I have to deal with hiccups in the middle. I never get hiccups at any other point in my life except for when I'm here. It must have something to do with the breathing, the taking in the air while I'm talking. Or maybe it's just time to stop talking so much. Speaking of that, you're not going to believe what a man said to me at the grocery store on Tuesday morning. And even after I tried to tell him he wasn't being accurate or his information was wrong, oh no, he was going to argue with me. He was going to tell me he knew all about me. Glad to have you with us. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything at Amy After Hours or on our Facebook page. This is the middle show of the work week. It's our hump show on the Infinity Sports Network.
Here on After Hours, we like you as much as you like us.
I've never been on the radio, so this is new to me, but I always listen to you when I get off work.
Cool. Oh my goodness, you're so on right now. You're so on. You stay on.
Thank you.
Don't stop what you're doing.
Hey.
Hi.
You are a superhero of the sports world. You have a very inspiring show.
Thank you for taking my call. I love your show and you have a great night.
Thanks, Taylor. I appreciate you tuning in Houston, home of my mama.
Hello, Amy. I just wanted to say, in my humble opinion, you're one of the best to ever do it.
Thanks.
So positive and happy, and it makes my life happier.
Well, I appreciate it. I tried. Feel like a heart to get.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Call me old school, but hey, I'm a 90s baby. In my 80s Mercedes, I'm a 90s baby.
Did you guys happen to see how Jose Altuve got ejected from the game on Tuesday? It's kind of funny. We'll have to get to that coming up. A game against the Padres. So maybe there are some of you who are waking up on your Wednesday that weren't paying attention to that West Coast affair, but it is sort of funny. It's not quite buzzers underneath his uniform, but maybe. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence and Marco Belletti's here in studio. So Tuesday was my 9-month wedding anniversary. Oh. And so my husband and I had saved cupcakes left over from the wedding. I love how Marco's whole response is, oh, not yay, or how are you doing, or that's awesome. Just
it was a nice oh.
It's fine.
I'm a little curious though about these cupcakes. I mean, like, save them how? Nine months ago.
Freezing them. No, they're perfect in the freezer. Okay. They're amazing. In fact, they were just as good.
Okay.
Yeah, they're amazing. So my best friend made cupcakes. Maybe at some point I'll share a photo. But my best friend made cupcakes instead of a wedding cake, and we saved 8. So at 3 months, we ate 2. At 6 months, we ate 2. At 9 months, and now we've got 2 left for our 1-year wedding anniversary.
Okay.
Yes, but we don't have, other than November, we don't have any more on the weekend. So we're kind of, you know, whatever, celebrating during the week. So we had the cupcakes after dinner on Tuesday. Anyway, I was feeling good and happy and on my way to the grocery store on Tuesday morning after work. I do that one morning a week. And even though Walmart refuses now to allow us to have more than 15 items at the self-checkout counters, even though there's no one else there, nobody. It's friggin' 7 o'clock in the morning. And they still are like hawks and vultures with the self-checkout lines. Mm-hmm. So I now have to go through the store twice. So I go in once, I get my 17, I can sometimes sneak 17 items. Then I leave, I come back in, I do my other 15 items. Yep.
They don't have other lines?
They have one, but it's always backed up, right? Okay. Because they won't let anybody go.
I don't know. I'm just asking. That's what I mean. It's
annoying.
Seems like a lot to go through. Just go to the line. Okay.
You have to wait even longer to do that.
Okay.
So, and also, I get very stressed they don't allow their checkers to help you bag anymore. You know, you can't use plastic bags in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. It's outlawed. And so you have to bring your own canvas bags. And the checkers do not help. So they just sit there and watch you. Mm-hmm. So with all these groceries, I have to bag them myself, which is fine. It just takes a little longer. Mm-hmm. And they just sit there and watch you. And then I get very stressed because people are standing in line. So yeah, it's ridiculous. I'd rather just go through and be organized and have everything in the bags where I want them and not have someone breathing down my neck or watching me.
Okay.
It's fine. It works for me. So on my first time out of the store. So I was done with my first 15 to 17 items and I was on my way out to put them in the car and then was going to circle back in. I hear this voice from behind me, Amy. And so I turn around and it's a man in his, I guess you'd call it a motorized wheelchair. Look more like a scooter. Anyway, he's motoring up behind me. Hey, I've been listening to you on the radio, so I'm not exactly sure how he knew who I was, but whatever. I've been listening to you on the radio. Congratulations on your retirement. My what?
Wait. Before you continue, let me, because that's interesting in and of itself. Is this an employee or this is somebody, this is a customer?
Well, he used to work there, so he's been talking to me for the course of the last couple of years, but I don't think he works there anymore because I don't see him anymore. I think maybe, yeah, he's been a little bit too, whatever. So he's motoring around, he follows me, and he says, I've been listening to you on the radio. Congratulations on your retirement. Mm-hmm. And I said, my retirement? And there's a few people standing around. Like there's someone at the door who's checking my receipt. There's somebody else who's just standing there waiting to get outside. And I said, I'm way too young to retire. I said, furthermore, how in the world does one live in New Jersey without having a job? And he said, oh, and didn't you get married? So like all that went right over his head. He didn't even bother to listen to what I said about the retirement. He said, oh, didn't you get married? Yes, I did. Well, congratulations. I listen overnight. Oh, that's awesome. And then he said, but I'm sure I thought you were retiring. I said to him, no, sir, not anytime soon. And I said, again, I'm pretty sure that in this part of the country, without a job, you can't really afford to live. I stopped short of saying, and here I am shopping at Walmart. But he then follows it up with, are you ready for this? I search for you on the internet. I know how much money you make. Oof. So that's what he says to me in front of a bunch of other people. And I look at him and I said, no, you don't. He's like, I do. You could easily afford to retire. He's telling me this as we're standing at the exit to the store. So yeah, I kept walking. At that point, I just decided I would keep walking. So I got to the car, but I go back in because I have to get my second round of stuff. Usually my dairy and my fresh vegetables.
Yeah, you don't want to put the frozen in the car
exactly.
First. Exactly. Yeah, I could see how that'd be a problem.
Method to my madness. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so then as I'm walking out, somehow he sees me again. Amy, I know you're retiring. Congratulations. You have plenty of money. He's apparently has found someone else on the internet that he is sure is me. And for that reason, he's confident that I make more than enough money to be able to retire at a young age. Or maybe it has to do with being married, because I did have a lot of people ask me, are you going to quit radio after you got married? Which is, I don't. You never ask a dude that question. Why would you ask a female that question? Anyway, so it was just sure that I made a lot of money. He's like, I know how much you make, and that I was okay to retire. And then, so then I put part of that on Twitter on Tuesday morning, and a woman responds with, who did he think you were exactly? Right. So it must be a case of mistaken identity. I feel like that must be.
But if he listens, who did he hear is retiring on the show?
I don't know.
Or is he just confusing a bunch of things? Because he sounds like he's a bit confused.
He might be. Maybe he got the details all jumbled up. Maybe he meant to say congratulations on your marriage. But the whole thing about I search for you on the internet. I know how much money you make. Oh, my God.
I think anytime you say the words I search for you on the internet, stop right there.
Right.
And don't do that ever again. It doesn't matter what the rest of the sentence is going to wind up being. Whatever it is, it's wrong. So just.
But also the irony of me doing my grocery shopping at Walmart at 7 o'clock on a Wednesday morning, that clearly underscores that I make a lot of money and can afford to retire, I shop at Walmart.
You could be frugal. That's
okay. How many millionaires do you know shop at
Walmart?
Well,
you don't have to be a millionaire to retire. I don't know. I don't know any millionaires.
I'm in New Jersey.
You don't have to be a millionaire to retire?
I mean,
I kind of feel like in this part of the country,
I don't know.
Tell me that story.
What am I going to tell you? At our age, no. Then you've got to have money all over the place. But I mean, you know, you get older, it's different. I don't know. I got to be fair. I don't know. I don't come across people with money. I'm unaware of it.
A lot of people, retired people, live in other parts of the country. It's because it's cheaper to live in other parts of the country.
I would think so. Yes. Yeah. I find it difficult to believe it could be more expensive than to live where we are. But,
right.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was interesting. And at the second time I'm walking out, as he's kind of motoring back toward me, the woman who is checking the receipts, she pulls me over. She's like, just go, really quickly.
So if that's somebody that used to work there, that still goes there, I feel like there's some sort of underlying issue.
Yeah.
If you will. Yeah, you might
wonder. Maybe his forcefulness with customers might be the reason why.
Stop searching people on the internet. That would be step one.
I also heard him when I was checking out talk about how he can't find a date to go to a concert, and he just needs a lady friend to go to a concert with him. And I'm thinking, oh man,
on the motorized scooter.
Yes, I can imagine what it was like to work with him there as a lady.
Are there any other Walmarts in your area?
Yeah, or any other stores?
Right.
No, I got to go to Walmart. I've got to. By the way, their profit margins are increasing in such a way that now two of the three heirs to the Walmart fortune are worth $100 million.
Well, then they can afford to put another Walmart in your area. Right. Yeah.
There's a couple, but that's on the way home.
Well,
and it opens. It opens at 6 a.m. Eastern, so I can get there and get my shopping done.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure some of the other ones around your area could open early enough. Yeah, you can find another store if you want to avoid the internet motorized man.
Well, I'm not afraid of him.
It's not afraid. It's just unnecessary.
Plus, maybe you don't have to. Completely wrong.
Maybe you don't have to put your groceries three times going in and out of the store to get your wind
only
up. Maybe
twice.
Maybe you can actually go to the line and they can get it done in one step process.
Nah, I'm a control freak. I want to be able to self check out my own groceries. But if there's nobody else at the 9 self-checkout counters, they should have no issue with how many items I have.
But do you want that conversation every week?
I'll just ignore him after a while.
Well, that'll get...
Ask him about his lady friend.
Oh, that's true. You could turn on him.
Yeah. Change it.
And it's messed up, but there's a reason why they don't let you do that.
Why is it?
Because they don't trust you. With a lot of items, it's easier to steal.
Oh, I would never do that.
They don't know you, Amy.
That's true. But
that's the reason why the stores do that. It's messed up because you're already making me do your job by checking it out myself, and now you don't trust me. You're going to go through the receipt, and then I can't put more on. But that's what it is. It's because it's hard to keep track. If somebody has a cart full of stuff, you don't have time to go line by line.
Especially if there are 9 of them.
And they could easily steal 1 or 2 items during that whole cart. So it's too difficult for them to keep track.
It's not you, it's the other people.
Gotcha. All right. Well, that makes sense. I feel a little bit better, but I'm still going to stick to my process now of going through twice. They look at me funny. Like,
I would think so,
seen her?
You were just here, and you do this every week.
I do.
Are you serious? Write a list.
I do.
Write it down.
I have a list.
Well, that's what they're thinking. If you got to go to the car and come back, write it down. You obviously can't remember anything.
At A-Law Radio, or send your questions for Ask Amy. I know Pete is making his list at Amy After Hours and also on our Facebook page. I'm not retiring. I do not have enough money to retire. And no, you cannot find out how much money I make on the internet because the internet doesn't even care about that. That's how insignificant it is. Here's our latest sports update. And here, I can bet you can find out how much Marco Belletti makes on the internet.
Good luck for that one.
Infinity Sports Network.
We can all have a good cry.
Sports Flash.
All right, Dolphins have said they wanted to go day-to-day with Tua Tagovailoa, but now they made the decision to put him on IR. Tua suffered his third concussion in the last 2 years. Got to sit out at least 4 games. Miami's now in the hands of Skylar Thompson, although they also added former Raven Tyler Huntley as well. Steelers have come out with a pair of road victories to begin the season under Justin Fields. Of course, filling in for the injured Russell Wilson, and that'll continue to be the case when Mike Tomlin's crew hosts the Chargers Sunday.
As I sit here today, Russ is not scheduled to be a full participant in practice, and so we're ready in a plan that features Justin and his readiness. We'll follow Russ throughout the week. And if his participation gets to a level in participation and quality where we should consider him, we'll delve into that at that time. And obviously, when that happens is a component of the consideration.
Meanwhile, Chiefs have brought back running back Kareem Hunt to their practice squad. This, of course, after Isaiah Pacheco was placed on IR. Baseball, Reds looking to put a big dent in the Braves' playoff chances.
1-2. Fly ball to deep left field. Laureano going to go back. This is trouble. Back to the wall. Gone. Into the first row by Spencer Steer. And the Reds have the lead for the first time tonight, as it's now 6-5 Cincinnati.
Spencer Steer, your go-ahead two-run shot, helping the Reds rally from 5-1 down. They shocked the Braves 6-5. Call courtesy Reds Radio Network. Elsewhere, the Mets disposed of the Nationals 10-1 as Pete Alonso went deep, drove in 5. Rockies lit up the Diamondbacks 8-2. So Mets in Arizona now tied for the second wild card, 2 games up on the Braves. Elsewhere, the Yankees punished the Mariners 11-2. Juan Soto is 40th of the year, 200th of his career. Astros survived the Padres 4-3-10. Twins settled the Guardians 4-1. Giants dominate the Orioles 10-0 as Blake Snell struck out 12 over 6 innings of one-hit ball. Rays too much for the Red Sox 8-3. Rangers overpowered the Blue Jays 13-8. It was the Cardinals 3, Pirates 1. Tigers outlast the Royals 3-1-10. Marlins outscored the Dodgers 11-9 despite Shohei Ohtani blasting his 48th homer of the season. Phillies erased the Brewers 5-1. Bryce Harper went deep. Zach Wheeler fired 7 strong with 6 Ks. A's, they upend the Cubs 4-3. The Angels blanked the White Sox 5-0. And Tennessee upping their ticket prices by 10% to help pay athletes in a new revenue-sharing plan set to begin in 2025. I'm Marco Belletti.
Hey, like us on Facebook. Our handle is INF Sportsnet. That's INF Sportsnet for our Facebook page. This is the Infinity Sports Network.
Pitch hit high in the air, deep left center field. Mitchell going over to the track, nearing the wall. He's out of room. It's into the Brewer bullpen. And Bryce Harper with a two-run home run to give the Phillies the lead here in the sixth.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Bryce Harper, he's back to hitting home runs. I search for him on the internet. I know how much money he makes. Yes, number 29, which actually is a really low number. He went a long time without home runs. And I'm not saying he isn't effective. He still has more than 80 RBI, but you'd have to say it's a down year for Bryce Harper in terms of the power numbers. But the Phillies are still at 91 wins after a victory on the road in Milwaukee. This is huge. They actually kept Milwaukee from clinching a playoff spot. So the magic number was 1 for Milwaukee. The Phillies' magic number is now 1 to lock up a playoff spot. And all credit to Zach Wheeler on the pitching mound. Win number 16 for the Phillies ace. He allows just 1 run over 7 innings, 4 hits in there, no walks. So just shy of 100 pitches. And win number 16, this is exactly what the Phillies needed.
Yeah, I mean, he's Cy Young. I mean, it's not even a question now. Just the way he's kind of throwing, the way he's been doing it all year long. I mean, he deserves it. He deserved it 3 years ago or 2 years ago, too, when they robbed him of it. So, you know, he deserves it this year, no doubt.
So that's Bryce Harper talking about their ace and touting him for Cy Young. Not sure how you can argue with him either. NBC Sports Philadelphia and Phillies TV with that Bryce Harper clip. So 91 wins puts them 8 games above the Mets in the NL East. But more importantly, although if you were listening to John Kincaid with us on Tuesday morning, he actually does not want the Phillies to win the top seed in the National League. He actually prefers they be the 2 seed. But either way, Phillies right now are sitting at 91 wins. They are, in fact, 2 clear of the Dodgers for best record. And the Brewers are not that far behind. So Brewers another 2 games behind L.A. for that number 1 overall seed and best record in baseball. Yankees have 88. Guardians have 87 in the American League. So we'll be going down to the wire. We are halfway through. It's our hump show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.